This episode of Supply Chain Now Radio is brought to you by Apex Industrial Crescent in Greenville, Spartanburg, South Carolina, an association for supply chain management organization. Apex Industrial Crescent provides supply chain thought leadership, networking, and certification opportunities for supply chain professionals. Consider getting involved with the Industrial Crescent as a volunteer or general guest. Student memberships are free and the networking opportunities are numerous. Supply chain certification workshops are also offered through a partnership with Greenville Tech. Sessions typically run 3 hours per day, 1 day per week, for 10 to 14 weeks, depending on the certification. Whether you're interested in a better understanding of inventory management and planning fundamentals, end-to-end supply chain management concepts, or logistics, transportation, and distribution, Industrial Crescent has something for you. For more information on the workshops, the certifications, or area networking opportunities, be sure to check out apex-industrialcrescent.org or send a note to support@apex-industrialcrescent.org.
Welcome to Supply Chain Now Radio. We are broadcasting live, not from Atlanta where we usually are, but we're broadcasting live from Greenville, South Carolina. Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain, the people, the companies, the technologies, and the best practices and critical issues of the day. Scott Luton here with you, along with my co-host Chris Barnes. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Scott. Great to be here.
Glad to have you here. We are in, as I mentioned, Greenville, South Carolina, one of the most exciting business markets, at least in the Southeast. Specifically, we're broadcasting live today from Clemson University's International Center for Automotive Research, CUICAR. Did you see that multiple signage coming in?
Yeah, that's I know where I am, definitely.
So
it's a nice facility, by the way.
Very fantastic
good signage, plenty of parking.
Yep.
Student environment.
And Chris Barnes is president and executive director of Apex Atlanta, and we are continuing quite a streak we've been on. Supply Chain Now Radio has been out interviewing the movers and makers in the world of supply chain. We're going to continue that trend with our guests here today, which we're going to introduce in just a second. But more about ICAR. Let's talk about so ICAR again is Clemson University's International Center for Automotive Research, and their vision. Did you happen to check out their bold vision?
I did not. What is their vision, Scott?
To be the premier automotive research, innovation, and educational enterprise in the world. That's a high bar.
That is.
I love it.
Considering how far we are from Detroit. Historically,
well, hey,
you know.
Things are shifting for sure.
Yeah.
The center has seven strategic research areas, including manufacturing and materials and systems integration, two of the seven. It's been an incredible economic development catalyst, created over 1,400 jobs, current and announced. A recent report, July 2018, from the Brookings Metropolitan Policy Program, that's a mouthful, cites South Carolina's 10-county upstate region, which is, of course, the ICAR is a big player in that, as a model of cluster-based economic development. So not only are things busy up here, but it's setting a bar for how things should take place in this cluster in the industry like automation is, automotive is.
Mm-hmm.
Anchored by BMW Manufacturing here in Spartanburg, this automotive case study explored the upstate's concentration of 223 automotive-related companies and 22,000 employees. So the automotive industry is certainly alive and well here in the upstate. So you can check out more information on this beautiful facility we're at, CUICAR, at CUICAR.com.
Yeah, it seems to be a great part of a great state. I mean, obviously, you know South Carolina for the tourism. They obviously have a major port.
Mm.
I guess we're on the other side of that in terms of the industrial side. But, yeah, it's a great compliment to everything they have going on in the state.
Absolutely. And speaking of, so I'm partial. I'm originally from Aiken, one of the 46 counties in South Carolina. But last week, Chris, we featured Matt Markham with the Georgia Center of Innovation for Logistics, where we really answered the question, why Georgia for end-to-end supply chain, right? Had a great conversation. They've got the upcoming Georgia Logistics Summit. But today, we're going to be asking a similar question. Basically, why South Carolina for end-to-end supply chain? So with premier resources like this ICAR facility we're at today, I mean, no wonder business is flourishing here in the Palmetto State. So let's introduce, with no further ado, let's introduce, we've got two great featured guests this morning. We are welcoming Suzanne Dickerson, Director of Logistics Initiatives for the South Carolina Council on Competitiveness. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning.
Glad you are here with us. And Chuck Baker, Supply Chain Leader for Michelin and past President of the Apex Industrial Crescent Chapter. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Scott.
Glad both of y'all are with us here. It was great to have you in Newton County a couple months ago for Supply Chain 101, which we'll touch on later on. But great to collaborate with you once again and looking forward to your perspective. So before we dive in with Suzanne and Chuck, Chris, we're going to start the show like we always do with some of the top things to know in supply chain now. And we're going to, lead off with some of the things you've been tracking, right, Chris?
Yeah, just some of the trends and things that are happening in supply chain. I know, the first thing, obviously, Apex as a sponsor, I'm a big fan of Apex 25 years, and I think Chuck is as well. We'll talk about that. But I see supply chain professionals having I don't want to call it a certified, or having some governing body giving them certifications, almost like a CPA.
Yep.
So Apex has gone a long way in that. Right now it's all voluntary. But I can see that happening as supply chain becomes more prevalent in the success of companies and the economy. We'll start having organizations like Apex giving them that rubber stamp of approval saying, hey, you took the classes, you're certified, and this kind of shows that you're an SCM professional. I think that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
I see that as a big trend. And the other thing is, obviously, the concept called, everybody's heard about predictive analytics. I think the next evolution is predaptive analytics. So predictive, obviously, is big data, analyzing data where you can give it to management, and then they can make decisions. Where if you look at the supply chain, a lot of times data can drive, you know what the answer is going to be, so why give it to a person to make that decision? Go ahead and make the adjustments on the fly, somewhat artificial intelligence. So pay attention to that term, predaptive analytics. It's almost like, you know, we're here in the car central of the southeast, and it's like having the new cars. I don't know if anybody has a new car, but when you start to veer out of your lane, the car starts to shake a little bit. That's pretty much predaptive analytics. I mean, it's kind of telling you, hey, you know, wake up, you're getting drowsy, you know, whatever it's going to be. That just happens to be an example. And obviously, another big thing I see specifically in the supply chain space is the significant growth of what we want to call them, drones or robots. I know people don't like the term robot, but maybe I shorten it up and call it a bot. So, but things from, if you're in the warehouse doing picking, bots serving as ambulances in the military fields, you know, you can't get in because you're under fire, so you send a bot in to evacuate some of the injured soldiers. So those types of things happening all over the place.
Fantastic. And we've heard the phrase cobots used. You know, they're such a, with technology continuing to, you know, come into the supply chain industry a number of different ways, you know, there's this notion out there that everyone's going to be replaced with a robot. And that couldn't be, you know, further from the truth, really. For folks that are willing to learn, take on new skills, these cobots are ways that they can provide opportunities and upward mobility for folks just by complementing really what they're doing already.
Sure.
So this term gray-orange came on the show a couple months ago, and we're talking about really this notion of cobots. So really interesting there. So one last...
Yeah, just a quick note, Scott. Gray-orange is the... I know we're in South Carolina, but we have the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards coming up March 12th. They are one of the nominations for Supply Chain Innovation of the Year, so I'm glad you mentioned that.
That's right, definitely. Looking forward to that on March 12th. So one final note before we dive in with Suzanne Dickerson here is, Chris, do you happen to know what tomorrow is?
I am married, and I should know, but please remind me.
So I think Chuck knows. I think I heard. So, Chuck, what's tomorrow?
It's Valentine's Day.
That's right, Valentine's Day. So let's talk for a second about Valentine's Day supply chain. So Supply Chain Dive, which is a great publication, they published a neat article recently that spoke about how UPS is ramping up for this year's holiday. So do you happen to – can y'all guess how many flowers are going to be bought in 2019 for Valentine's? Or strike that. How many flowers is UPS shipping in 2019 for Valentine's? Wild guess?
Over a billion.
Oh, man, that would be a great – shipping year, but 89 million flowers in 2019, 1 million more than 2018. UPS has in fact added 50 extra flights through Miami International Airport, which is one of the big hubs, port of entry for a lot of these flowers. Of course, it's not like shipping a can of corn, right? It's not shelf stable for millennia. But the multinational cold chain moves flowers from fields to buyers in as little as 2 days. Now, think about that. That's not, you know, in this Amazon age, you know, we all expect two-day delivery, right? Well, that 2 days, oftentimes, not all the time, is, you know, from a DC or fulfillment center to our house, right? This, for Valentine's Day, we've got to get it from the fields into the processing facilities, labeled, accurately shipped out to the buyer's hands as they're making the transaction in 2 days. So that is supply chain on steroids, I think. It's incredible.
And if you look at, if you read a lot of management philosophy, is supply chain is becoming more of a service, less of an operations tactic. Mm-hmm. So if you think about being able to provide something in 2 days versus 2 weeks, then supply chain is definitely becoming a service.
Mm. So according, one final note here, according to the National Retail Federation, U.S. consumers will spend $20.7 billion, B as in Bezos, on Valentine's Day gifts. About $1.9 billion of that is flowers. And again, big fans of Supply Chain Dive. We're big fans here at Supply Chain Radio of what they do. So you can check them out at supplychaindive.com.
A little shout out to the Mrs. Barnes. She works for Hallmark Greeting Cards. And today is probably one of the busiest days of the year for them.
I bet.
And she's probably looking forward to her flowers.
Yes.
Fresh flowers.
Let's get Chris on record. Chris, what? I'm kidding. We'll look at that. All right. So up first today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we're going to be featuring Suzanne Dickerson, again, Director of Logistics Initiatives for the South Carolina Council on Competitiveness. Good morning again, Suzanne.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, glad to have you here, and appreciate your collaboration, as I mentioned earlier, in Georgia, and looking forward to diving into a lot of the neat things that are going on here in the Palmetto State. So Suzanne's experience includes 20 years in the automotive industry, with 12 of those years spent at BMW, working in fields from corporate sustainability to innovation management to long-term strategic and structural planning. So Suzanne, you've seen it all when it comes to automotive, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a great journey. There's nothing more exciting, I think, than the automotive and logistics space. So,
Lots of stories there, I'm sure. Yeah. Maybe bodies hidden somewhere, but we can't dive into all that today. But really excited about, kind of starting with just the overall economic impact of logistics in South Carolina. Speak to that a little bit, because there's a lot of hustle bustle up here.
That's right. So about 3 years ago, the South Carolina Council on Competitiveness started the new logistics industry initiative in cooperation with the Department of Commerce. And one of the first things we needed to know was, you know, who belongs to the logistics economy in South Carolina? Mm. What is the impact of it? So we used our friends over at the Darla Moore School of Business at USC to conduct an economic impact study for us. And, you know, it was really amazing to discover that there are more than 700 companies that belong to the vertical of logistics, right? And we all know, you know, logistics is really not just a vertical.
That's
but
right.
So a horizontal affects every industry sector in the state. But some interesting findings, you know, more than 100,000 people in the Palmetto State work in the logistics industry. We have a $32 billion impact on the South Carolina economy. And one of the things that I thought was most interesting, although not surprising, but, you know, it's nice to see these things validated, is that South Carolina businesses rely on logistics services at twice the rate that they rely on other services that they purchase. So, you know, it's critical. Mm. I mean, this is really the backbone of the economy.
Absolutely. So, you know, when we talk about, we'll talk about some of the recent wins in the industry a little later on, but you know, there's so much moving. We drove up from the Atlanta area this morning, and we were talking kind of in the warm-up. You can see supply chain on the highways and byways.
Literally.
You can see. Yeah, you can really see it. In fact, we've got a nice backdrop as we broadcast here of I-85, I think that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, directional math is right. A lot of activity. So what is, you know, what are some of the reasons why industry is coming here and growing here?
Yeah, so, you know, Chris already mentioned our beautiful beaches and, you know, the great tourism that exists in the state. But I think it makes sense to kind of remember that South Carolina, as a small state, is really kind of competing in the Southeast above our weight class, right? So, you know, we have three automotive OEMs doing business here and an aerospace OEM, right? Mm. So between BMW, Volvo cars, Mercedes-Benz vans, and Boeing, you know, we've been wildly successful, really, you know, by all measures in recruiting supply chain, those industry supply chains to come and do business here.
Yep. Suzanne, for us non-technicals, what's an OEM?
Original equipment manufacturer.
Okay.
Right. So, and they've brought supply chain and, you know, tier ones, tier twos, and tier threes with them to the state.
That would be their suppliers.
That's right. Right. Okay. Component suppliers and so forth. And so, you know, I think from the Department of Commerce and Council on Competitiveness perspective now, you know, we need to have a dedicated team that's focused on making sure those companies can do business here in terms of moving freight efficiently and effectively.
Mm.
So we have dedicated resources now to wake up every day thinking about how do we make sure that's going to happen.
And not just thinking, but winning.
Yeah.
And getting it here.
Yeah.
You know, with your BMW background, you know, I was born and raised in Aiken, and I think it was Carol Campbell was governor at the time
that's
that
right.
helped really make the BMW thing happen in Spartanburg. And it seems like, not to be biased against any industry before that, but that seemed to really start a new type of industry in this state that maybe paved the way. Do you feel it paved the way for these others?
Yeah, although I would, you know, just remind everyone, you know, so BMW gets kind of the attention typically, and people think that's, you know, mostly where it started. But, you know, Michelin actually came to the state, you know, almost 20 years earlier, right? And not just with manufacturing, but also with R&D and headquarters. So I think that, you know, there was already a good picture and a portrait here for BMW when they looked at the state. And, you know, I think probably there was also some similar effects when Volvo Cars looked at coming to South Carolina, right? There was a built-in supply base here that BMW had, you know, established, and so those things all help, right?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because you know, it's interesting how just things build on each other when it comes to economic development industry. And you know, while maybe some get all the attention, a lot of others did a lot of heavy lifting. So really appreciative of all those companies you mentioned and many others that are providing a lot of opportunities for South Carolinians and for that matter, folks moving into the state to take some of these great jobs. Let's touch on how cost competitive it is to do business here.
So, you know, following on the economic impact study, we wanted to look at other logistics hubs in the U.S. and see how we compared. You know, we had not independently verified or validated before. We felt like we were at a cost competitive advantage, so we commissioned an independent firm to do a study for us like that. And it turns out that three of the top five most cost competitive locations are right here in South Carolina. Mm. So Greenville, Spartanburg area, Charleston, of course, and Dillon, which is where the new Port Authority Inland Port has been located now.
Yep.
So we're happy to see that. It's nice to have other people, you know, confirm those kinds of statistics for you.
Well, I believe that Inland Port, if my homework was right, is one of the has seen some of the fastest growth out of there's 12 major national inland port markets. And I was looking at when we were talking to Matt Markham in Georgia, because Georgia's going through, you know, is expanding their inland port strategy as well. The Greenville Dillon, you said, is that has been a terrific job generator and one of the top in the country in terms of the number of jobs and the economic impact that inland port has had on the region.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the Greer inland port here exceeded expectations, you know, in the first 3 years, right? Surpassed forecasts for volumes and things like that. So it really has been a huge economic driver.
So, you know, I've got to own up to something here. Dillon is not in the upstate. Dillon is,
that's
is right. out.
That's the new one. So.
So I grew up in South Carolina. I know all my 46 counties, but so Greer is the
right, and that one's just celebrated 5-year anniversary.
Okay.
And the Dillon in Lumpur opened last year in April.
Ah, I gotcha. Okay, very good. So Greer is the one that's been just humming right along.
That's right.
Yeah, fantastic. So let's talk about, talking inland ports. I mean, it's a close cousin to, you know, investing in infrastructure. What's going on in here in South Carolina in terms of investing in what's here?
Yeah, so, you know, we're not slowing down. The investment continues. You know, the 10-year CapEx plan between the state of South Carolina and the Port Authority have outlined more than $2.4 billion in investments, right? So these are things like, of course, you know, Chris mentioned already our top 10 port in Charleston. So the deepening and the widening of the harbor there, the new ports in Dillon, the expansion of the port in Greer, new terminals, et cetera. So, you know, all of those things will make South Carolina even more competitive going forward.
Love it. And we were talking, you know, pre-show about some of the needs and why we need to expand. Touch on that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that our team wakes up every day thinking about is the writing on the wall already predicts, and these are based on, you know, IHS DOT projections. We will need to move 81% more freight in 2040 than we did in 2011.
Wow.
Right? So it's important that those kinds of investments are coming. It's, you know, good that we're making those investments proactively, to borrow Chris's
I like
term
that,
again.
Suzanne. I like
I'm
it.
I'm picking up
fit
on
right
this
in
new
here.
Term,
yeah.
That's right.
She's pre-adaptive.
Pre-adaptive, yeah.
That's good.
So we're not just waiting, right? We're thinking about this proactively and taking steps to make sure that we can do that. And this is where, you know, I love seeing some of the technologies coming around, because we will need not only those investments in physical infrastructure and so forth, but we're going to need a lot of technology playing a role in making sure that we can do that.
Absolutely. And so just to recap there before we talk technology, so 81% more of what is being transported today is coming by 2040. So close to doubling.
Exactly.
The amount of traffic.
That's the way I think about it. I just round it up.
Yeah.
And say, you know, essentially we need to move twice as much freight in 2040 as we did in 2011.
Well, hopefully.
So that Spaghetti Junction just south of Greenville is already out of date? Or
No.
Not yet.
No.
Well, maybe, you know, by then, maybe we'll have drones delivering certain things and autonomous trucking. Hopefully by then we'll really be much more practical and culturally, mm-hmm. you know. I always, in my mind, you know, we're driving down the road and you look over and you're always, you know, kind of observing who's driving what. You know, when are we as humans going to be perfectly at ease with looking over and seeing there's no one in the cab of right. all this mm-hmm. all the carriers? It's coming, though.
Yeah.
It's coming. It's going to have to, because we can probably spend the next 3 hours talking driver shortage and mm-hmm. some of those challenges, right?
Well, probably sooner than that is going to be looking out your window and seeing a delivery van from xyzcompany.com with a Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
Yeah, those are very popular. And it's got, on top of it, it's going to have 10 drones that are just picking up packages from that mobile van, right. that mobile warehouse, and taking them to the areas.
Well, did, now you know that we talked about this probably several months back. Amazon was set to purchase, and I'm around figures here, and Malcolm and the research team will check me on this, but roughly Amazon was going to purchase 5,000 Mercedes vans for their partnership, driver partnership program. I can't remember what the name is right now, but they have tripled that order.
Right. Hmm.
And over 15,000 right. Mercedes-Benz vans,
yeah.
you know,
I've heard
best
up
in
to
class.
20. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this on this show a few months ago, but they remain committed to using their current transportation partners. So we'll see how that plays out. But lots of opportunities for in manufacturing supply chain here
right.
at Mercedes-Benz in South Carolina.
That's right. And Chris, you know, I think, and Chuck's going to talk about this as well, but, you know, one of the fun things about that picture that you just painted is, you know, kids love drones, right? Mm. And so, you know, in terms of thinking about how do we get the young generation inspired to go into this industry, right, all those things help us, you know, whether it's the being able, you know, having your kid order, you know, guinea pig, reorder guinea pig food from the Amazon Alexa
right.
assistant or whatever, you know, it all those things help us. I think, you know, it's not a hard sell. They get excited about, you know, well, what happens after
right.
I tell Alexa to order the guinea pig food, right?
Well, and so our audience might be wondering where that, of all things, you order guinea pig food, but you're talking about your son earlier, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that, that he uses.
Walk down the stairs and just, you know, tell her to reorder. And, you know, so it brings up an opportunity, right? It's a,
right.
it's a moment where you can go, well, what do you think happens next? And then you can, you know, talk supply chain
to
your 11-year-old. Yeah.
It really is amazing. So let's talk. So speaking of the technology mm-hmm. side of ordering, let's talk about technology within supply chain, specifically what you see taking place here in the supply chain community in South Carolina.
Yeah, so, you know, I mentioned the 700 companies, right? So what's dynamic about that number is that not a week goes by where we don't meet a new company in the state that has decided to go into the, you know, tech business to try to help us develop solutions for optimizing freight movement and so forth. So we have a annual Tech Talk event mm-hmm. that we host every year in Charleston in conjunction with the trade conference that's become so popular. We've actually decided to do two of those this year because there's just so much going on, whether it's, I mean, we've had, speaking of robots, we've had companies come and show off artificial intelligence security bots for warehousing and distribution environments in those events. We've had, you know, the digital contracting trends featured. We've had all the on-demand models, you know, business intelligence types of examples, advanced software solutions for systems integration. I mean, you name it. And what I think is cool is that a lot of these things are homegrown here, right? So we're not only becoming, you know, well-known around the world for mm-hmm. manufacturing world-class products, but we're also becoming well-known for developing technology solutions, which is an exciting, you know, development in South Carolina.
Oh, it's huge. Because technology is table stakes these days in supply chain, right? It's not optional. So the Tech Talk events, Suzanne, have y'all scheduled the next one?
Yeah, so we'll actually host one in the Upstate for the first time on June 5th. It'll take place at the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport Conference Center here. You know, they're really moving the needle these days on air freight, European and international air freight to Mexico, for example, through one of our firms here. And so we'll be hosting that there. And then we will also do, in conjunction with this year's trade conference, we'll also host another one down in Charleston. So.
Love it. And those are opportunities for not just to hear thought leadership and best practice and resources and opportunities, but also professionals can network and make connections in the industry, right?
That's right.
So June 5th at the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport Conference Center,
that's
is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I know we'll touch on this later, but they can, if you go to South Carolina Council on Competitiveness, they'll find the information
that's
they can register.
Yeah, okay. On both the council page and the sclogisticsindustry.com page.
Great. And we'll offer those again, but sclogisticsindustry.com and sccompetes.org are where our listeners can get more information on the Tech Talk. So really neat. June 5th. We'll walk that on the calendar here at Supply Chain Now Radio.
Can they contact you direct with information?
Absolutely.
Or do they have to go to the website?
Yeah, they
kind
can
of
contact
screening.
Me directly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. I've got a couple customers in Spartanburg and one in Charleston.
Right.
I'd certainly enjoy making the introductions.
Yeah, we're bringing it right to them.
We
did some surveying after the last one in Charleston, and we had a lot of responses that said, please do one in the Upstate. Mm-hmm. So,
love it.
Customer driven.
Love it. No pun intended. Great. So let's talk about some of the wins that we've seen here in South Carolina. And disclaimer here, I wish we could carve out all the wins and talk about all of them, but I was doing some cherry picking earlier. Frontier Logistics announced a $35.5 million expansion in North Charleston in early 2018. W International, a metal fabricator, announced a $35.2 million. I guess $35 million is the number here. I wish I had that lying around to make that investment somewhere. But W International announced a $35.2 million investment in Berkeley County that would create 600 new jobs. And that's down low country as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Berkeley County. And I didn't realize I was going to be playing South Carolina geography today and clearly did not prep well. It is. Other recent big wins include major investments from the Volvo Car Group, Samsung, Keurig, Green Mountain, so coffee drinkers will know that, and Mercedes-Benz Vans, which we already touched on, which is just blowing up left and right here in South Carolina, which is so neat to see.
Those vans are made here?
In Ladson.
What are they called? Because I see
Sprinter.
Them. Like Sprinter. They must have 90% of the market. Every wood flooring contractor, carpeting guy, painter has those.
Yeah,
love them.
Popular.
Yeah.
And Ladson is just outside of Columbia and Sumter, or outside of Sumter. Is that right?
It's closer to Berkeley.
Berkeley. Okay.
Yeah.
Ladson. Okay.
And obviously,
not too far from Sumter.
As a Sandy Springs, Georgia resident, I certainly love Mercedes-Benz.
Mm-hmm. So I had a fraternity brother from Ladson, and I'm going to hear it from him for the next several weeks. So goodness gracious. So lots of activity. It's really neat. You know, having grown up in Aiken, my father worked out at Savannah River Plant growing up. And you know, when you're in the family, you kind of think just about, you know, where your dad works, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so growing up, I never really, honestly, I met my granddad retired from Kimberly-Clark, who has a big plant out near, I think, Beech Island, South Carolina. But, you know, you don't think all the different opportunities, but seeing big names and well-known names and those that consumers may not recognize that are, you know, creating so many jobs and opportunities here in South Carolina, this is an exciting time to be in supply chain or in business here in this state, right?
It really is, yeah.
So to capitalize on all that opportunity, let's talk workforce for a second. So how are the powers that be here ensuring we have plenty of quality workers for the end-to-end supply chain industry in South Carolina, Suzanne?
Yeah, so, you know, it's perfect, really, that we're sitting at a Clemson University facility today. You know, when we think about assets, you know, we tend to, in our business, think about, you know, the ports and those kinds of things. But we shouldn't forget about all of the educational institutions and the role that they play. All right, so USC's has a top five, you know, supply chain program here. Clemson has, you know, Smart State Endowed Chairs in Supply Chain and Logistics. College of Charleston has a great program as well. And, you know, so what we've been excited to see is, you know, not only at the university level, but even at the high school level, we have career centers in the state that are picking up the national SREB curriculum in global logistics and supply chain and implementing those at the high school level, right? Getting people inspired and hopefully excited about going into this business even younger. And, you know, this is where, you know, we co-opetitioned with you and, you know, Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream to come and look and see what you're doing for an even younger generation down in Georgia.
Absolutely.
Some of us did a really nice road trip to see some of the things that you're doing with fourth and fifth graders. I know Chuck's going to talk about that.
Absolutely.
What is that you'd mentioned, SCRAB?
SREB.
What is that?
It's the national. They not only do global logistics and supply chain curriculum, they also have one for aerospace. And really this is something that the aerospace cluster at the Council on Competitiveness did first. And we're following that template to support the schools and trying to get those kinds of programs implemented. You know, sometimes it's helpful for the schools to have professionals that'll come in and talk about what their careers are like. And so anything we can do there to help get more schools doing that across the states on one of our targeted objectives for 2019, in fact.
That is so neat to hear. There's such a huge need to create this awareness. For, you know, supply chain, manufacturing, transportation, logistics, careers, because, you know, growing up, most children, even sometimes if their mother or father or family members are employed, they don't always make that connection, and they make the connection further to how to prepare and get a job and have a successful career in that. So love to hear what's going on here. And we're going to – so to our listeners, hang on to this topic because we're gonna kick off with a neat thing that's taking place today when we bring Chuck Baker here in just a second. But, Suzanne, to kind of put a bookend on your interview here on Supply Chain Now Radio, again, how do folks reach out to you and to the South Carolina Council on Competitiveness?
Yeah, so the easiest thing is for folks to subscribe to our newsletter at sclogisticsindustry.com. Then they'll get all the information about upcoming events, like some of the ones that we've mentioned already. And at the council generally, the Competitiveness Council, they can follow us at sccompetes.org. So then you have the aerospace and some of our educational initiatives as well. So
love
I invite
it.
People to do that.
So Suzanne, thanks for your time, your collaboration. We'd love to have you back down to Newton County or one of the other schools we've got. And, you know, one last thing is I love the benchmarking that goes on. It's such an important thing in industry. You know, factory tours are so popular and practical because it gives folks an opportunity to put their eyes and ears on and hear the story of some things that are working. And, of course, they take it back to their factory. And we're seeing a lot of the same things happen between the states. And that's really a neat dynamic. We need more practical collaboration.
That's right.
In 2019. Okay. That was Suzanne Dickerson with the South Carolina Council on Competitiveness. Thanks so much, Suzanne, for being here. And don't go anywhere. We're going to get you to weigh in on some things we talk about next. Up next on Supply Chain Now Radio, we're featuring Chuck Baker, a supply chain leader for truly a world-class manufacturer, Michelin, which, as we learned, helped pave the way for what's going on now in the South Carolina economy. Chuck also served as a president with the Apex Industrial Crescent chapter. So on that note, thanks for all of your service to the supply chain community and the Apex community. Chuck.
Thanks, Scott.
Good morning again. Speaking of service, Chuck is also, his bio is one, I mean, talk about having a couple sidebars and several hours of getting some stories out, but Chuck is a West Point graduate that served as a commissioned officer in the U.S. Army before beginning a successful career in supply chain spanning over 37 years. That's impressive. So if you had to name one or two key things you picked up and you learned from, you know, starting your career in the Army and then moving into you know, supply chain manufacturing, what are those really relevant lessons learned?
One of the things that's very well known in the military is you get up and exercise first thing in the morning. I don't care if it's 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. And that's one of the things I have continued on, because you realize if the day's starting, you're going to be moving and it's going to be going on right in front of you. So if you don't get something done in the first thing in the morning, you won't be able to do it later on. And you think of the military as being 24/7, as well as the supply chain is 24/7. It never stops. Mm. And the military was like that too.
There was a great Army commercial, I think, in the 80s, that the Army basically gets more done by 9 a.m. than most people throughout the whole day. That kind of speaks to what you're talking about a little bit.
And I've kept it all my life. You know, it's one of those things where if the clock is going off at 5 o'clock and you think it's hard to get out of bed, but at the same time, I'll feel much better after I'm out of bed and starting to do something during the day.
Love it.
And I've got a good track record. I deal a lot in my alternative life in warehousing, helping companies with world-class warehousing software. But I've got about an 80% success rate, Chuck, when if I can walk through the warehouse and I can tell if that warehouse manager has a military background just by the organization factor. Mm. And I'm about 80% success. I don't know if it's that's the type of people that the military attracts or the military trains those things, but I got a good idea.
I think it's similar because I have peers of mine who have been in warehouses and myself in the distribution center. You can walk into a facility and you'll see how clean it is. They can. What's the background between that person? What's pushing him or her?
Love it. Love it. So you've been obviously a longtime volunteer leader with APICS, which is now part of the Association for Supply Chain Management, ASCM. So in your personal involvement, what value have you seen?
We see people understanding supply chain much more when they get involved with APICS. For an example, you may look at your own specific job, but you don't realize where does that job start with other individuals also. We've had people coming, a gentleman named Dick Ling, which is world famous for those people in supply chain. And Dick Ling is the father of the term S&OP.
Yes.
Sales and Operation Plan. Dick made a presentation at our chapter, and it was really good because you realize S&OP, you think of just as a normal term. wasn't always a normal term back in the early 80s and the 70s, mm-hmm. and he was the one that really coined it. Keith Launchbury was up here 2 years ago. Keith is teaching DDMRP, Demand-Driven Material Requirement Planning, another program that's starting up. And you look at these individuals come here and continually improve our knowledge. I think we learn that through APEX and E's supply chain team presentations.
Got to constantly learn. Got to constantly learn in today's day and age. Speaking of S&OP, we've got to our listeners on February 19th, the Graphic Packaging headquarters is hosting an executive roundtable on S&OP, because while that's been around for quite some time, it is a very hot topic in the supply chain world right now.
So Chuck, did you say what S&OP was? I can't.
Sales and operations planning.
Okay, sure,
yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
I'm a little slow here. So.
No. You're the voice of the listener. I like that, Chris.
So I've got another angle on that, Chuck. I mean, Atlanta, obviously, we have a wealth of people to talk to. I recently spoke to somebody, Scott, and I said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, I implement CPFR, Collaborative Planning, Forecasting, and Replenishment. And as a longtime APEX member, Chuck, we know what it is. We teach it. But to have somebody sit there and tell you that's what they do, I was dumbfounded. I'm like, people really do this stuff? That was pretty cool.
You teach these individuals, so hopefully they'll take it out to their companies and be able to learn so much more about it.
Yeah. So we've kind of spoken to this, Chuck, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway, because there's probably something I just want to get you to share. So what feedback from companies that get plugged into the APEX community, the APEX Industrial Crescent chapter, how does it positively impact them and their operations?
I think you see the expansion of knowledge, which is so important for individuals. And you see other individuals that are younger in the 20s saying, wow, where did you learn this? How can I learn it? What do I need to do in order to be able to grow up in the company and learn more in supply chain? You start in the basics, you continue on, you plan at a facility, all of a sudden you plan at multiple facilities, and then you continue to improve as you go along.
So if I could tie it back into what Suzanne ended up with around the workforce development, I'm sure that's a big topic on your agenda every day, but hopefully you can turn to organizations like APEX for standardizing terminology and allowing employees to communicate. So S&OP may mean one thing in automotive. It might mean something different in the hospitality or general manufacturing industry. So hopefully you're able to leverage the relationships with APEX locally, at least in the state. If not, that's what APEX Atlanta, we help with, kind of just making sure companies know what resources are available to train their employees.
Mm. Very good.
So talking continuing education. That's good. It's a great segue, Chris. Like what you did there. Let's talk about continuing education here in the Upstate. Specifically, let's start with the local APEX chapter. What are y'all doing when it comes to, helping folks earn credentials?
We do have three courses going on, and they'll be starting very soon. And we talk about a CPIM, Certification for Inventory Production Planning. And we have other ones that are going on also, but we do it at Greenville Tech. And Greenville Tech's our host facility, so we can have everybody going through Greenville Tech and taking courses over there.
And we were talking a couple times pre-show about the scholarships that are offered through Greenville Tech. Talk to us about there.
The state has given some money to Greenville Tech, and it's just not a little bit, but it's a lot of money, to Greenville Tech in order to be able to help individuals continuing with their education. APEX courses are covered underneath that.
You
can't just take a basket weaving course in order to be able to get credit. But if you think about supply chain and how much we do with it, they are supporting that in 100% at this current time in order to be able to go to Greenville Tech and say, I'd like to be able to take a supply chain course, and it will be free for you.
That is huge. Is that
tremendous. Is
that a South Carolina thing, or is that a national? Can y'all? We need that in Georgia if we don't have it already, Chris. We need to put the research team on that.
Yeah, we'll keep the South Carolina people in South Carolina, but we'll certainly check it out for the Georgia people.
Yeah.
But it's a very positive thing hear that Greenville Tech is being given money in order to be able to instruct our individuals in the future.
That's great.
That's great.
Especially
great.
Supply chain operations.
Yeah, no, that's
talk. Talking about investing in your infrastructure, Suzanne. I mean, that's investing in the workforce.
Right.
So we've got so much to talk about with Chuck. When we were talking about your bio and all the things you're involved in, 20 minutes doesn't do it justice. But let's shift gears a little bit from the APEX discussion, and let's talk about PFEW. because you've been doing this a long time. So tell our listeners what the PFEW program is.
And I'm hoping there's a few people up in South Pennsylvania that are listening to this.
They know.
Because I gave it to them yesterday. I said, listen, PFEW is Pennsylvania Free Enterprise Week. It is what they call a seven-day wonder for high school students. And what they do is they go into a course for 7 days, starting on Sunday, finishing up on Saturday, and learn a lot about how to run a business. Obviously, it's a simulation, but they learn so much in 7 days. Classes start at 8 a.m. in the morning every single day. Sometimes they finish up at 6 o'clock, sometimes at 7 o'clock, and one day they finish up at 10:45 p.m., so they are going all day long. And it's a program where you're teaching high school young adults, because you realize they're going to be running businesses in a few years, how to run a business and how to do it professionally. They have professional speakers coming in and giving them pointers on how to continually learn. So it's just not going to school, but it's more the fact of it's a life-changing event for most of these students.
Love it. And so how long have you been volunteering at the PFEW?
Well, I finished up my 20th year last year in a row, and going up to Pennsylvania to do this. So I leave South Carolina to go up and do it. And I've already signed up for this coming July for my 21st year.
So do you track how many students? How many students have you think you've engaged over that 20-year volunteerism?
The average is about 15 to 18 students in a class. So if you multiply 15 times 20, it comes up to, 300? But you look at what PFEW has, they have over 50,000 students they've trained since 1979. 1979 was the first year. During the summer, they started. So they have just completed the 40th year. This will be the 41st year teaching high school students in Pennsylvania about business.
So in a very practical manner.
Chuck, how did we get to Pennsylvania? I don't know what happened here. I'm sitting in South Carolina. Next thing you know, we're talking about peas. So what happened?
I got a call from my boss one time. It says, you're going to Philadelphia. I said, I am. He says, yes, you are. I said, to run a distribution center up there. He says, yes, you are. I said, when do I leave? He says, Friday's your last day in your job here in South Carolina. Go it up. So I ran a distribution center for 6 years up there. Got involved with the Chamber of Commerce. They had a part called Business Education Partnership. And obviously, you wanted to be able to help out the educations of the high school students, grade school students up there. I got involved with this, not realizing that this next step, somebody said, oh, you got to come up to Pennsylvania, Lycoming College. It's fantastic. They teach us. This guy was talking about it, so excited about it. And first thing I said is, have you ever gone? He says, oh, no. both my children have gone there. So I decided to put my foot in back in 1999 and go up for the first time and learn all about this. All of a sudden, it's like a drug. You realize how much impact you have on these students, and you want to do it again and again and again. And it hasn't stopped.
Wow. Love it. So year 21 coming up, is that this summer when do you go up there?
Yeah, I'll be up there July 7th, right?
July 7th, okay.
Usually it's 4th of July. I'm up there 4th of July. It's the first time in probably 5 years that I actually have a 4th of July at home in South Carolina.
Wow. Well, you know, so I admire that. I admire how active you are in giving back to the industry and that next generation. And on that note, really appreciated your efforts at supporting in our schools, all those activities, you know. Supply Chain 101, which is y'all are having conversations here in the state of South Carolina of basically, not dive into it, but just engaging elementary students and planting those seeds of supply chain awareness, right?
Right. We have the cell phone game. We have the lemonade game for grade schools, and we have what they call a paper airplane game for middle schools. And we're starting this off in South Carolina. Suzanne has been a major supporter for this also, which is going to be really interesting as we go forward and being able to teach grade school students, middle schools, and high school students supply chain games.
Love it. Love it. And Suzanne, I think y'all had a couple planning sessions under your belt. Any forward-looking milestones? Can we?
Yeah, so we plan this year still to roll out the lemonade supply chain game to three schools in South Carolina, and to do two more in the fall. And so we're pulling volunteers from the SC Logistics partner organization as well as from APEX here in South Carolina.
Love it.
And we've had, every time we show people what the program looks like and talk about how excited the kids are about it and how fun it is, we get more volunteers than we probably know what to do with. So that's a good problem to have.
Huge. And because that's such a critical part of engaging, yeah.
Yeah, so I know you said you didn't want to delve into it, Scott, but what is this supply chain lemonade game you guys speak of?
Yeah, so in a nutshell, APIC several years ago rolled out, as Chuck mentioned, a cell phone game for students that really planted seeds of awareness around different supply chain principles, STEM, and other things. They rolled out a lemonade game for elementary students, and then I guess a paper airplane for middle school. Is that right?
That's correct. That's the way it's set up.
So at least in at APIC Atlanta, we took the elementary program, and after some initial feedback we got from schools, we kind of streamlined it a bit into what we call Supply Chain 101 in our speak in Georgia. I like South Carolina, Georgia. But so Suzanne and Chuck came to Newton County in November to benchmark and kind of see what we've been doing, you know, since November 2017 in Georgia. And they are going to be standing up a very similar initiative, which Suzanne just mentioned, three schools this year. Is that right?
That's right. End of April.
That is fantastic. And, of course, however we can help support it. It sounds like you've got a great pipeline of volunteers, which is so, you know, critically important, as we've learned. When you sit down supply chain professionals in, you know, at a table of third or fourth or fifth graders, that's a really a neat conversation.
Suzanne, do the volunteers have to be classically trained industrial engineers or master facilitators? What are you looking for there?
Well, we happen to be pulling from a pool of, you know, supply chain and logistics professionals. So these people are really well qualified. And the students are so fun, you know, when you talk to them at their table about, you know, what you do. And a lot of times you'd be surprised, even at the third, fourth, fifth grade level, we saw this in Georgia, that, you know, they understand more than you kind of give them credit for. As we're going through this, you know, you have a sugar refinery and a lemon farm and a lemonade factory and a warehouse and distribution operation and transportation. It almost seems like it's intuitive, you know. Yes. They just get it.
And they get it fast too. Mm-hmm. These kids today, I mean, they'll have it within 10 minutes, maybe eight, South Carolina folks. But wow. And then they're teaching us, you know, they're asking questions. It's been a remarkable experience, and I love y'all's leadership in making similar thing happen here in South Carolina.
It sounds like a great for any corporate listeners, a great opportunity for sponsorships. I mean, so you might have T-shirts and hats and chocolate and drinks and stuff, maybe Minute Maid.
You need lemonade.
That's
you
right.
Need lemonade. So it sounds like a great opportunity for some of these CPG companies to throw you guys a few bucks and maybe get the name out there to all these kids.
Yes.
Yeah, the first ones will be supported by Talent Stream.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Michelin and
oh, that's great.
A couple
yeah.
others. So,
good.
So and Talent Stream is a proud sponsor of Supply Chain Now Radio. We're thrilled to be affiliated with these supply chain awareness programs for our kids. As a father of three kids, they were the guinea pigs for what we're doing in the Atlanta area, and they gave me all kinds of feedback. That was a fun experience, but really appreciate y'all. It's not about lip service. It's about getting out there and doing it, and really love to hear this exciting initiative getting stood up here.
And, Scott, that's transportable, obviously, to the great state of South Carolina, but Alabama, Tennessee.
Yeah, get on board.
Any of our area southeast chapters, we could help them out with that.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to be in Birmingham, Alabama, in May, and one of the things we're going to be talking about with them is some of these experiences we've had with this program. All these states, we've got such a huge need and gap to be able to engage these students and make sure they understand all the different opportunities, not the ones that we hear about, you know, in all of the various TV and other media channels, but
sure.
All the opportunities out there. So
yeah, and didn't mean to leave out North Carolina. I guess they're probably. So. Are we friends with North Carolina and South Carolina?
Well, you know, what's interesting through this conversation here. You know, South Carolina and Georgia have always had kind of an interesting rivalry. You know, whether it's football or industry or whatever, and it's fun to kind of have that kind of play out in our conversation too. But I admire what y'all are doing, and Chuck specifically. You know, we've been friends within the APIC community going back years, and you know, you helped us stand up that regional symposium. What do we call that? It was like a 37-word title for the regional event we did in October. And there was a handful of chapters and APIC leaders that really kind of banded together to get the first one stood up, and you were one of the first ones to raise your hand. So really admire what you do in our community and certainly in our schools.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Didn't you do a video testimonial or something there?
I did to you, Chris, of all things. Yeah,
I can remember.
Yeah. So – speaking of other things you've been up to, and we kind of wrap up this section, You also wrote a book, 3 Days Till Monday. Tell us about what this book's about.
Of all things, we talk about PFEW. That's where it started. What I did was I had an extra hour of time with the students on a Friday one time. And I said, what can I teach them? What can I do during this time? And this is where the book started. I started talking about different things that I had taught in the past. I mean, you marry who you deserve. Self-discipline is the basis for all success in life. Instantaneous ethics. You think about as a high school student, you have to make instantaneous ethics. It's decisions with certain things you do. Is it right or wrong? And do it right now, whether it's whatever happens. And in teaching the students this, I started putting a list of different subjects together. I finished it, and one of the students says, Chuck, you need to write a book about that. And I threw it away, like, yeah, right. I don't need to worry about this. The next year, I taught it again. The third year, I did it. All of a sudden, one of these girls, Hannah Allegretto, kept on emailing me every 6 months. Chuck, what's the status of your book? Chuck, you need to know where's the book?
Holding you accountable.
Oh, all the time. It was great. And I finally said, okay, fine. I need to do this to get her off my back more than anything. And I put it together. And in 2012, it came out where I had a couple chapters and put it all together. And it says 3 days till Monday. And you think about how many people say, thank God it's Friday. I turn it around and say, let's be happy for Monday because it should be the best day of the week. And that's the way I promoted it.
And that, to our listeners, is not lip service. Having known Chuck for a long time, I've never seen him have a bad day. So it's inspiring. So how can folks get the copy, get their own copy of 3 Days Till Monday?
Well, there's this little company out there which starts with an A and ends with a Z somewhere in there, Amazon.com, and just put Chuck Baker and then put 3 Days Till Monday and apostrophe till. And, you know, make sure it's apostrophe T-I-L Monday, and it'll come up.
Okay. Well, a great book. We've given out. We've used them in the Atlanta area for door prizes and book giveaways. And I've read almost cover to cover. And you need to hold me accountable on that, Chuck. So next show you're on, we can talk about that. But we need to have you on a webinar and sharing some of those critical leadership lessons that comes from your experience. So 3 days till Monday, you can get it on Amazon. And if you can't find it, you can shoot us a note to Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at supplychainnowradio.com, and we will make sure we can get you a copy.
Yeah, and for anyone listening, I'd say shoot me a note at info@apixatlanta.org, and we'll see maybe if you heard us on the radio, maybe we can give you a special for a book.
Oh, okay, Chris, upping the game. I like that. Okay. Info@apixatlanta.org. Okay, good deal. So Chuck Baker, with Michelin and past president of the Apex Industrial Crescent chapter, thanks for your time here today. It's really been a pleasure to reconnect with both of you and you know, kind of get you to share some of the things that you're involved in and some of the really neat activity and robust activity that's going on here in South Carolina.
Thank you, Scott.
Appreciate you bet. So let's, before we sign off today, we've got some upcoming announcements that we're involved in and some things we aren't involved in. Right, Chris?
Yeah, a lot going on. I obviously want to give a plug out to kind of shifting back a little bit to Georgia and specifically to Atlanta. We've got March 12th, the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards for 2019 coming up. We've got approximately 50 nominations for great companies in supply chain. Halstead International, Huddle House, AgCo, RCOP, the Arby's Supply Chain Cooperative, XI Technologies, a really interesting one, International Tacoma Trachoma Initiative, which tries to help with curing eye diseases across the world. So they've got very creative supply chain initiatives. So I'd encourage you to check that out. We're doing a lot of promotion on LinkedIn, trying to recognize these great organizations doing great things in supply chain.
And you can learn more at AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. Nice, clean URL. Love it. March 12th, nominations are over. We'll have awards, our winners selected very soon. If not, they're already selected. We've had a great Cracker Jack team of 7 judges that have volunteered their time. Chris has been leading the judging process, which has been very helpful. But sponsorships and registration for the March 12th luncheon is currently available, and that's, again, AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. The Georgia Logistics Summit, March 14th. It's open for registration. The speaker, they've got some great speakers, great panel. The Inland Port Strategy, which we've talked about, which is working really well in South Carolina and other states. That's going to be the main theme, and you can learn more at GALogisticsSummit.com. We are proud. Supply Chain Now Radio is a proud media partner of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta, June 10th through the 12th. Talk about home run lineup of speakers, Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, many more. Check out EFT.com for more information or we're here to serve. We'll make it easy for you. Send us a note, scott@supplychainnowradio.com. We'll get you more information on that. And we hope to be broadcasting live from the event. More to come on that. Chris is in heated negotiations. I'm kidding. We hope to confirm that that broadcast right there in Atlanta, the Supply Chain City. Again, big thanks to our guest, Suzanne Dickerson, Director of Logistics Initiatives for South Carolina Council on Competitiveness. As we mentioned, learn more at sclogisticsindustry.com. You need to subscribe to the newsletter. It's something that comes out monthly, weekly.
It does.
Monthly, okay. Yeah. I've already done it, and we would encourage our audience members to do the same. And you can also learn more about the Tech Talk events and some of the other news and resources at sccompetes.org, right?
Exactly.
Love that. Chuck Baker, supply chain leader for world-class manufacturer of Michelin team. And again, past president of the APICS Industrial Crescent chapter. And that chapter's website, Chuck, we can Google that real quick.
Okay.
Or is there another way that?
Well, you just pull up APICS Greenville and it'll get you there. Yeah.
Or Industrial Crescent.
Industrial Crescent, yeah.
APICS-Industrial Crescent.
Good looking website, yeah.
Yeah. APICS-IndustrialCrescent.org. And Chris, before we sign off, anything else on your radar that you're tracking that you want to give our listeners a heads up on?
No, I don't think so. Just as we always say, it's up to you. It's kind of along Chuck's philosophy is you got to get out and manage your own career. If you don't, other people will, so you may end up where you don't belong.
Mm.
And just go out and make something happen.
Absolutely. Be sure to check out other upcoming events, replays of our interviews, other resources at supplychainnowradio.com. You can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. Stealing some of Suzanne's thunder. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything. On behalf of Chris Barnes, Malcolm, and the research team, and really the whole Supply Chain Now Radio team, this is Scott Luton wishing you a wonderful weekend. And we will see you next time on Supply Chain Now Radio.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Good with Chuck. Thanks, Suzanne, Chuck. Y'all have a great week as well.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Supply Chain Now Radio. To listen to more episodes, check us out on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, or supplychainnowradio.com. And if you're interested in advancing your career, team building exercises, or simply satisfying your intellectual curiosity, check out an APICS certification workshop at apics-industrialcrescent.org. Until then, I look forward to seeing you at an event. Thanks for learning.